students, all of our online students and the students that are on Roku. We're so privileged to be here tonight. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for all of the many benefits that we have as children of yours. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. We thank you that the Bible says when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. So we're so thankful for these ministry gifts. We're thankful, and I say that for our apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. We thank you for the apostolic call that's upon his life. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for the shifting and the lifting that have taken place in his life, of which all of us are beneficiaries of. So tonight we ask our precious Holy Spirit to make known to us, give us revelation knowledge, train us and teach us so we can function in the realm of the Spirit. And we'll be so careful to always give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
Okay, the first thing I want to do is address the quiz. Many of you did very well on the quiz. There were 60 perfect 100 scores. There were 24 B's, 5 C's. Now, those of you got D's and F's, whether you're here as a Darrell campus student or online, that should never be. So that means, or what that says to me, either I'm not properly or adequately instructing you, or you think this is a game, something you're going to play and get through. I'm going to admonish you to study, to make sure that you're not just taking these quizzes, even though we're not trying to see how smart and how intellectual everybody is. I believe that when you take quizzes, everything you do should reflect excellence in your life. Give yourself to it. Give me your best. So if you make a DRF, yes, I'm going to get on you, and I'm going to give you an extra homework assignment. I want you to go back and look at that quiz. And every question that you missed, I want you to tell me why you missed it. That's your assignment, whether you're online or in here. I want to know specifically, I'd ask for the D's and the F's. If you stay out of that category, you won't get this. Okay? No, children, this is not a game. You know, you're not here to come, you know, take up time and space. You have to give yourself to this. And I told you, don't take none of these tests without, you know, studying. Because you have to prepare. I'm a pastor. I serve up under apostle. I'm not giving him no sloppy agape. Okay? I'm studying. When we traveling with him on Show Me Your Glory conferences, when I was in school, before that, the Money Coming to You conferences, I was in school doing this traveling. If I had to study while I was on the road, see, that's what apostles looking for. We're not babysitting. And I don't want you to think you're just going to sit up here and be cute. I don't like D's and F's, and to me, it's unacceptable. Okay, now that that's off my chest, let us get back to laying the foundation for this class of moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy. As I mentioned to you in the last session that we were together, where I did have the opportunity to teach, it's very important not to assume that everybody is spirit-filled and everybody knows everything. So I want to make sure before we launched off into moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy that we had the proper foundation. So one of the first things I emphasized is that what we're dealing with is the supernatural. Is that right? The supernatural. And, you know, Apostle in the Show Me the Glory conferences has been dealing with the two realms that we function from. The natural realm and the supernatural realm. Now, moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy, this is supernatural. Okay? So we want to establish this fact. Number one, the church is a supernatural race of spiritual people. Y'all got that? The church is a what? Supernatural race of spiritual people. Christians have a supernatural birth, by the Spirit of God, a supernatural baptism with the Spirit of God, supernatural grace, and supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be spiritual? It means that you are, number one, born again by the Spirit of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and living in the Spirit. So basically what we're saying is we have a supernatural life. And apart from the Holy Spirit, we don't get it. Okay? So I said we have a supernatural birth. Now, keep in mind, everything that happened to Christ happened to you and I. Everything that happened to Christ happened to you and I. Christ's birth was supernatural. Isn't that right? Luke 1:26. Come on, we got a little bit to cover. St. John chapter 3. Luke 1:26. Just want to look briefly at the birth of Christ. You know it was supernaturally, or supernatural birth. Real quick, Luke 1:26. I need somebody. Y'all know I like people to read, so I got my reader here tonight. So I'm going to let him read. Y'all could take off. You ready? Read what it says.
And in the sixth month,
the angel Gabriel
was sent from God.
Unto a city of Galilee
named Nazareth.
To a virgin
espoused
or engaged to a man
whose name was Joseph
of the house of David.
And the virgin's name was Mary.
And the angel came in unto her and said,
Hail,
thou
that art highly
favored. You are highly favored.
The Lord is with you.
Blessed art thou among women.
And when she saw him,
she was troubled at the angel's saying.
And she cast in her mind,
what manner of salutation shall this be? Read.
And the angel said unto her,
Fear not, Mary.
For thou hast found favor with God.
And behold,
thou shalt conceive in your womb.
You shall conceive in your womb what?
And bring forth a son. And shall call his name Jesus.
And you shall call his name Jesus.
He shall be great.
And he shall be called the Son of the Highest.
And the Lord God.
Shall give unto him
the throne of his father David.
And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever.
And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Then said Mary unto the angel,
How shall this be?
Seeing I know not a man. Stop. Now the reason I have you reading all of this, a lot of time we preach and teach this, but it never sinks in. You don't get it down in your spirit. Just how supernatural what you're reading, and it also reflects what happens to you in the new birth. Here's Mary getting a salutation from an angel telling her that she's going to be carrying the Christ child. And her question, I'm not going to have him read no more because I got many places to go. And her question to the angel was, how can this be? Seeing I don't know a man. You're telling me I'm going to have a child. I'm only engaged to Joseph. We have not been intimate. So, you know, how am I going to get pregnant when I've never been intimate with a man? Now, there's one verse I got to have read where the angel said the power of the highest. See, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. And the reason that I want to emphasize that is because without the Holy Spirit, there is no supernatural. His birth was supernatural. Our birth is supernatural. Jesus was conceived and born of the Spirit. We are conceived and born of the Spirit. Come on, what did it say?
And the angel answered and said unto her.
That's when she said, how can these things be, right? All right, what did the angel say?
The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee.
Notice what he said. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Stop. Come upon thee. We talk about the Spirit within, but we got to understand the Spirit upon. The Spirit is not only within, he's upon. Are you listening to me? The Spirit of God shall come upon you. Read.
And the power of the highest
shall overshadow you. Read.
Therefore also,
therefore also
that, holy thing,
that holy thing which shall be born of you
shall be called the Son of God.
All right, so now you see how it happens. You see how it happens. God speaks. God gives a word. The Holy Spirit does not work apart from God's word. Are you with me? Are you with me? Now, you read that whole story and you find out that Mary got to the point where she just said, be it done unto me according to what you said. God said it. You said I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. Now, you say, why are you saying that? Because that's how we should be functioning. We shouldn't be trying to figure it out. Once you get the word from God, you got to be able to roll with it. You know, I'm born again based upon my confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm born again. It's a spiritual birth. Are you with me? Now, St. John 3. In St. John chapter 3, you know the story. This man, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The Bible says the same came to Jesus by night and he told Jesus, he said, now listen, no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him, right? Except God be with him. And then Jesus said, listen, if you're not born from above, put it another way, if you're not born of the Spirit of God, you can't even perceive the things that are happening in the kingdom. Huh? Then when Jesus said, you know, you got to be born from above. He said, well, how can I get born from above? Or how can I get born again? Can I enter the second time in my mother's womb? Natural birth. Jesus said, no. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus said, a man must be born of the water and of the spirit. The water I mentioned to you in our last time together stood for the word of God. See, well, apart from the word, the spirit don't move. Genesis chapter number 1, the Bible said darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit was brooding upon the face of the waters. But the Holy Spirit could not move until God spoke. When God spoke, when God said, when God released the spirit of his word, then the Holy Spirit went into operation. It's the same way today. Because it's what? Supernatural. So the first thing realize is we must be born of the Spirit. People get these terms mixed up. When you're born of the Spirit, that means, watch this, there's one baptism that saves you, Ephesians 4:4, one Lord, one baptism, one faith. You know, the Bible is not a confusing book. When the Bible, if there's baptism with the Holy Spirit, baptism with the water, baptism with fire, there's got to be more than one baptism, right? Right? But we're talking about the one baptism that saves you. That's spirit baptism. Based upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit takes you, your spirit being, and immerses him or her into the body of Christ. That is spirit baptism. In spirit baptism, the agent is the Holy Spirit. He places you and puts you in the body of Christ. Now, that can occur based upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. You listening? That occurs based upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. All right. Then there's water baptism, right? You don't get water baptized to be saved. Water baptism cannot possibly save anybody. We got to quit teaching these kind of things. If water baptism saves us, then there's no need for Jesus to go to the cross, take our sin, descend, come back up, and make it possible for us to be born again. What we need to do is just go to a river and baptize everybody. All right? So water baptism is only an outward expression of an inward act. Right? Water baptism is an outward expression of an inward act. So when you got born again, you were baptized. So now we water baptize you to publicly show what happened on the inside. Y'all with me? All right. The agent of water baptism is a man. Some pastor, some deacon, some elder, somebody baptized you in water. Y'all remember the Ethiopian eunuch that was traveling. When the Spirit of God told Philip to go join himself to the chariot, That Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. God say, join yourself to that chariot. Philip joined himself to that chariot and began to preach to the man Christ. When the man received Christ, that many became born again. Then he say, can I be baptized now? Right? Not before, after. Y'all get me? All right. Now, so water baptism is only an outward act of an inward transaction. All right. Now, this is important because some people think they got filled with the Holy Spirit when they got baptized with water. Some people think they got filled with the Holy Spirit when they got born again. But they got to understand there's born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. That's why I'm teaching you this or giving you this foundation. All right. You might be settled with it. But everybody online may not be settled with it. Y'all follow what I'm saying? All right. So now watch this. So the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, right? Acts chapter number 10, Peter goes to Cornelius' house, a Gentile, and preaches Christ. The Bible says while Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard him preach. Now watch this. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. See, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. What you mean? They didn't have to get water baptized to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost before they got water baptized. But one thing you do know, they believed from the heart and were born again. See, when they believed what Peter was saying, the same Holy Spirit that fell upon Peter and them at the beginning fell upon those Gentiles. So water baptism can occur right after you get born again, or water baptism can occur after you've been born again and filled with the Spirit. Y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Because they are separate experiences and they are supernatural transactions. So if you're not filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, more than likely you are afraid of it because of what somebody told you. Okay, speaking in tongues is not of the devil. It's a spirit language. Just like you learn English to communicate with each other. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost becomes the language of your spirit. Now, you got to understand, we're talking about the supernatural. So that means we got to be talking about things beyond what we understand in the natural. In Genesis chapter number 11, you find the story where they camped out to build the tower to heaven. Y'all remember that. And the scriptures say, and the whole earth was of one language. Right? Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
And God said, we need to go down there and check this out. Because these people made a decision that they were going to build a tower that reached heaven. And because they have one language, they're on one accord, there's nothing can be withheld from them. So we need to go down, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need to go down there and check out what's going on. Because if we don't put a stop to this, they're going to accomplish their goal. Y'all with me? Now you say, why are you telling us this? You just hang on a while. Hang on a while, because I'm trying to teach you. See, you want to move in the gifts of the Spirit, but you got to understand the supernatural is not what we have made it. We made it hard. It should be natural to be supernatural. It should be hard to remain natural. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Now, watch what I'm about to show you. So when the languages got confounded, now remember, when the languages got confounded, a lot of time what we kind of tend to think, well, you know, God gave them all these different dialects, all these different languages. But, you know, in reading the book of the Alliance of Honorable Men, one of the things that I discovered was, guess what? They were of one language. They understood. That meant I could be talking in another language. But because I was supernatural, I can understand what you were saying. Doesn't matter what dialect you were talking. Oh, y'all are catching all the cap. It didn't mean everybody out there was speaking English. Just simply mean whatever dialect you were talking, I understood you. Because I was flowing in the Spirit. I wasn't. Oh, y'all are catching. All right. All right, so you missed it in Genesis 11. Let me bring it back to you in Acts chapter 2. Okay, I'm trying to help you because you see, we're talking about the supernatural. In Acts chapter 2, remember what Jesus told those men? He said, now listen, you believe on me, you're born again. Huh? But you can't go out and do no ministry because you're not properly equipped yet. You ain't ready to be supernatural. I need you to go to the upper room because I'm going to need the one who caused me to be supernatural to come up on you. See, everything Jesus accomplished in his earthly ministry, he did not accomplish it because he was the Son of God. He accomplished it because he was a man anointed by God the Holy Spirit. And he depended solely upon direction from the Holy Spirit to get things done. That's the secret to his ministry. He didn't do it. He said, it's my Father doing the work in me. How was his Father doing the work in him? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The same way he's doing the work in us today. Are you with me? So Jesus commanded them. He said, now listen, I know I sent you out in my name to cast out devils. And it took place to heal the sick, to raise the dead in my authority. He said, but you are operating under an apostolic call. I sent you. But in order for you to function in another realm, because I'm leaving y'all. And it's expedient for y'all that I leave. Because if I don't leave y'all, the one who's causing me to do what I do won't come to you. But when I go to the Father, the reason that Jesus ascended to the Father was so that he can send back to the earth realm another of the same sort or kind. Listen to me. Church, listen to me. We have been talking about the second coming of Christ, not realizing that he already came back. Wow. Somebody say, what are you talking? No, this ain't no new doctrine. This is apostolic. He already came back. The problem with us in America, Western culture is, see, if you don't understand history, you're going to make the same mistakes that history made. The Messiah was sent to the Jews. The Messiah came, left, ascended, and right now in 2014, they're still waiting on him to come. You ready for this? Christians are the same way. Jesus left, ascended, and took a seat. And we so busy focusing on his second coming, we don't realize he came back. See, Emmanuel meant God with us. Holy Spirit means God in us. In St. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I'm going away. And when I go, I'm going to my Father. And I'm going to pray my Father that he would send unto you another comforter, one of the same sort, one of the same kind, that he may live and abide with you forever. He say, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you alone. Now notice his words. I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you. But I'm not coming as Emmanuel. I'm coming as God the Holy Spirit. Another of the same sort. In other words, what Jesus was to the 12, the Holy Spirit must become to you and I. That's all I'm trying to show you. See, Jesus came back in the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to come back to you. I'm not leaving you an orphan. So when the Holy Spirit was sent on the day of Pentecost, hello, that was Jesus coming back. Yes, sir. Don't get deep on me. It's too simple. The Godhead is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, for in Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When Jesus walked in the earth realm, the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son was walking the earth realm. Now, in the same way, the church carries the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. The body is to be, the spirit takes up residence in the body of Christ. causing all of us to be supernatural people. Yeah. And if the government is right, if the government is right, then we start functioning right. That's why God raised up Apostle Thompson. So we can start experiencing apostolic ministry. Read the book of Acts. Nobody never did anything without movement from an apostle. Y'all with me now? So we got to understand, Jesus ain't coming back. He here. Let's start acting like he here. So I ain't said the second coming. I know he coming back. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that he's here and you're still looking for him. He's God, the Holy Spirit in you. If the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit shall quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You have all it takes for you to succeed. Now, are y'all with me? Or are you going home? So now, come on, let's watch this. So when we're born again, we're spirit baptized. The Holy Spirit immerses us into the body of Christ. When we are water baptized, that's a man. All woman, you know, I ain't no competition up here. Paul said, I'm so glad I ain't. No, that was Jesus. Jesus said, I'm so glad I ain't baptized. None of y'all saved this one. Because, you know, I was baptized by the Reverend Paul S. Payne Jr. in 1948. Who cares? I'm trying to get you to the real baptism. Now, watch what I'm about to tell you. So when you are born again, you're spirit baptized. That's the most important one. All right. Now, water baptism is the agent of a man. Remember, John preached the baptism of repentance. He went around baptizing people. But his message was there's somebody coming after me who is preferred before me. Now, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. But watch what he say. But he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, baby, that's the work of Jesus. Jesus is the one. Y'all see that? Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one who baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That ain't the Holy Spirit don't act up on his own. Are you with me? So when you understand this, everything I've been talking to you about for the last few minutes is teaching you about a supernatural transaction. Every child of God has the right to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It does not matter if you're Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, African American, AME, because y'all know we got some names out here. The First Apostolic Church on the Rock, I don't care what it is. You have a right as a child of God to be filled with the Spirit. If you are denied that experience, you cannot experience the supernatural like I'm talking about. You want some direction in your life? Apostle said he has built this ministry on praying in the Spirit. Now, y'all know what preachers wanted, right? Another way. So in order to get an apostolic training, you got to follow your leader. It's quite obvious I ain't nowhere near what he did. I'm going to go over here. Y'all, I'm going to shout. I say it's quite obvious I'm not nowhere where he is. But he's willing to teach me and to train me. So I got to be willing to follow and learn. So he says the secret to my success in ministry is I realize my inadequacies, my shortcomings, my weaknesses. I'm not smart enough to do this. Y'all ready for this? I'm an educated black man, but I'm dumb when it comes to the things of God. So I'm a follow somebody who can teach me the ways of the Spirit. And so one of the things he wants us to understand is praying in the Spirit is not an occasional thing you do. How often do you talk in English? All right. How often do you talk in English? You communicate all day long with your wife, with your children, with church members, friends, people on the job, business transactions. You're talking English all day. God said, I need some people that's going to transform it with their spirit language. Now, the reason I know this is so, I would walk up on him at certain times. I can see him. I say, I can't bother him now. My question wasn't important enough, because I was going to interrupt his spirit language. See, the Bible says when I pray in an unknown tongue, I'm not talking to men. I'm talking to God. Whenever you walk upon somebody who's praying in the spirit constantly and you just so crazy, you are interrupting one of the most important conversations in life. Some of y'all need to get a spirit life. You don't pray in tongues just 6 o'clock in the morning. You don't pray in tongues when you come to church. You pray in tongues like it's your spirit language. You let God know, I can't do this without you. I'm not that smart. Oh, here's another thing you need to know. God just don't know spirit stuff. He knows the alphabets. He knows the 1, 2, 3s. He's the great mathematician. There's no aspect of life that God is not acquainted with. You want a man, God will give him to you if you follow him. I don't know what's up in here, but something going on. I'm trying to help you. See, if you're going to follow a man, I'm telling you. See, I don't have time for haters and jealousy. We got to get rid of skin tone and black folks. You can't despise your own. One of the things, I don't care what color you are on the internet, I can't see you. I'm preaching. Because the problem is you be worried about the skin color and the skin tone. God chooses a vessel and raises him up, puts his spirit in him, causes his spirit to come upon him. And if you have any sense, follow him. All right. Now, we got that established. Now, back to Acts chapter 2 so I can bring clarity. You thought I left it, but I didn't. Now, in Acts chapter number 2, Jesus said, now listen, boys, girls, don't you leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Don't go nowhere. No ministry, no preaching, no teaching. Don't do nothing. I need you to go to the upper room because you need a visitation. All right. Y'all know there was 120 in the upper room. All Catholics should know this. You want to minister to a Catholic? You want to get a Catholic right? They believe in the Blessed Virgin, even though she ain't a virgin no more. Don't hurt their feelings. I don't know. No man going to be laying up next to no woman telling her, you know, he married Mary. Now, Mary, you have the Christ child. After that, Marvin Gaye again. We going to get it on. So I'm just trying to help y'all. Y'all too spiritual for me. Y'all want it? She ain't a virgin no more. She was a virgin when Jesus was. The Bible say that he didn't know her till after. Okay, that's just another level for some of y'all spiritual people, you know, who want to pray and don't want to be intimate with your wife, with your crazy self. You ain't that deep. All right. Now, the reason I said that, just to illustrate, Mary was in the upper room, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a tongue talker. I believe if every Catholic knew that Mary talking tongues, you can get them all baptized tomorrow. Because if the Blessed Mother got it, they want it. Don't be hating. Find out how to reach people. All right, now y'all got that. Now, y'all know what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Bible say they were with one accord and in one place. And suddenly they came from heaven, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set up on each of them, and it set up on each of them, and it set up on each of them. All 120 got a personal visitation. Y'all not talking to me. It set up on each of them. I told you it was Jesus who was the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus ministered to each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. And they began to speak in other tongues. In other tongues. In other tongues. Y'all not talking to me. In other tongues. And the Bible says they were gathered from the whole earth. Men from every country. Y'all not talking to me. And the Bible says, they said, are not this all Galileans speaking? How be it we hear each of them in our own language speaking the wonderful works of God? Hold up, time out. Let's go back and do a rewind. I just told you that the spirit language and the supernatural means you could be speaking in a... It doesn't matter what language you're speaking in. If it's spirit and supernatural, somebody in the spirit can understand you. It didn't only say they heard them speaking in their own dialect. They said they heard them speaking the wonderful works of God. What do you mean? These people were from Medes. You know, you got that whole list down there. I don't have time to go through. But they said, we heard them speak in our own. We hear them speaking in our own language, but they're Galileans. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit, after he's the one gave the utterance. Yeah. He's the one gave the utterance. Right. Surely he knew who was out there. Yeah. Yeah. He was the one giving the utterance. Why? Because we're talking about the supernatural. Now, you want me to translate for you? See, apostle get direction, I get direction. And you can get direction. I'm doing what I'm doing because I was praying in the Holy Ghost. Moves I make. I don't know what to do, where to go. Don't move, no move until you hear him talk. Some of y'all don't want to hear him talk because you think you're at McDonald's. You want to drive up to the window. Order you a Happy Meal. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah, we drive up. I want a Happy Meal and Give me. I want an egg McMuffin with some fries, and a coffee, and orange juice, and we order all that. Now watch this, cause you know you're out there in the line, and within 3 minutes you got it, right? And you drive off. God don't work like that. God like to be romanced. God likes to experience. How bad you want this? God said you need to court me a while. You really want to hear from me? Spend some time with me. I hear the Lord saying, I miss my time with you. Our moments together. Where you can talk to me. Huh? You got to be kidding me. What time it is? No, I told her 7:32. Don't be cutting my time up. All right, y'all put him out to class. He cutting y'all short. Y'all tell him this man been short every week. You got to get to stepping. All right, I'm sorry. I did tell him because I was mixed up with the time. The reverend back there said I got a little bit more. 7:32, sir. Don't you let me go there because dad will cut me. Now, see, y'all don't understand apostolic ministry. I love my daddy. And this is a privilege that I have. I don't want no money. This is an honor to serve him. Then I got a brother from the same mother. If you're a world shaker, I'm kin to you. So I don't know why everybody all mad. He loved dad. I love dad. We love dad. And that's just the way it is. All right, back to the lesson. So I can take you further. Because I'm not interested in... Listen. I'm not interested in your emotions right now. What I want you to understand is you need to spend more time with your spirit language. And the reason I said we got to get rid of this microwave society is because there is no real pursuit of God. People have stopped running after him. You know, I think I need to read Psalm 63 because I need to develop. I need to, I see, I hadn't talked to Apostle about this. If you heard me talk about trying to get y'all all praying in the morning, I got enough group me calling me now. But I want you as students here on Darrow campus and online, I want you to start developing a daily prayer life. God, you know, God, how many of y'all heard of PTL? Huh? Y'all know, praise the Lord. Y'all remember Jim and Tammy Baker? PTL, praise the Lord, okay? Well, God don't want no PTLers. God don't want no PTLers. No, I'm not talking about praising the Lord. I'm talking about part-time lovers. God wants somebody who's going to pursue him. Y'all kind of quiet. Some of y'all don't have no time for him. God is not on your priority list. Yeah, that's why God say first. Seek me first. Y'all in Psalm 63? Verse number 1 read.
Oh God,
you are my God. Hold up, time out. Early will I seek thee. You know why it's early? Jesus rose up early Easter morning. It's early. No, y'all want to get to God when you get to him. God save you, learn to seek me first. Make me the first priority in your life. When you wake up in the morning, don't worry about your teeth getting brushed and your face getting washed and doing this and doing that. If you can give God 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, make sure you let him know, God, I'm putting you first. All my life, I've been putting you at the end. You at that end and I'm at the wrong end. I think I need to start putting you first. Ain't no problem that cannot be solved. Not if I'm putting you first. First. Now, y'all know what first means? First in time, first in order, first in rank. God wants to be first. Apostles are first in time. Y'all, that's why the church don't want to get it. We ain't had no modern day apostles to follow. We had possums, but not apostles. You ain't an apostle because you got a card. With a name on it. No proof. We following a man that have proof. P-R-O-O-F. He's proof. His family life is proof. Everything God's doing with him is proof. Listen, don't hate. Celebrate. Forget about looking just at the ministry. Watch his family life. Whole family in order. Serving. Excellence everywhere, from the house to everything he touch and do. Why y'all mad? You should never be ashamed of your apostle. People love Paul. Why I ain't saw Paul? All right, so I'm going to go over here. People loved Peter, James, John, Paul, Barnabas, all these folk. I wasn't there. I never saw them. But I found one. Now, watch what I'm about to say. Now, if you don't like him, don't make it known to me. Okay? Because I'm trying to talk about first things first. See, when God gave these gifts, he gave apostles. First of all. All right, so that meant they must be close to the heart of God and close to the purpose of God, meaning I can't get it done except I connect to God in the right way. I can't get to God who I can't see when I can't follow the one who I can see. You ain't hearing from God until you receive your apostle. Thank you very much. All right, now let's see where we at so we can get here to the next level. Now, notice what he said. I seek you early. He said, my soul thirsted for you. Mm-hmm. Come on, read. My flesh. Do you know this man, because he sought God early? Because he sought him early. Yeah. Now, you know, Apostle been teaching. I got to make sure. Get carried away. Get rebuked. Now, Apostle been talking about the king. Right? The king and the servant. and the slave. Thank you very much. The king, the servant, and the slave. That girl paying attention. What happened to the, no, I ain't gonna do that. The king, the servant, and the slave. The king is your inner man, your spirit man. The servant is your mind. Yeah, your soul. Huh? And your body must become the slave. Now watch what I'm about to show you. David said, I sought him early. I sought him early. The desire was from the king to seek him first and seek him early. I sought him so long that my flesh, the slave, wanted to experience what the king was experiencing. Because I made him a priority, the same thirst that was on the inside. Now y'all got to understand, my brother and I, we were raised up in a Kojic home. We never had no doubt about who God was and who God is, about being saved and not saved. We were 100% Kojic. Matter of fact, Peter and James, they had nothing on us. We was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. If you wore lipstick, we cut you to shreds. You had to wear your hat. You better had a dress on. And it couldn't be too short. Not nowadays. We were raised in the Kojic church. You know why we sent you to hell as fast as you can get to heaven? That's what we did. Lord, help us. Have mercy on us for all the people we killed. There were people who will never see a church again, ma'am, except God have mercy on us because we cut them to shreds. We were the watchdogs for Kojic. Our favorite song is You Can't Join In, You Got to Be Born In. This is the church of God in Christ. So if you were Baptist, you went to hell in our category. You was a Catholic, we sent you to hell. Assemblies of God, they went to hell too. Because the only church we know that was going to make it was Kojic. Don't get mad. That's where we was. Nobody never told us, but it was inferred. They talked about everybody, and all we knew was family. Now, why y'all mad? I got free. I met the apostle. So I'm a different man. All right, I see you. I'm going to be good, too. Make sure you get it when it won, because I got to say this now. See, your flesh. If your king is right, praying in the spirit. See, you can't pray in the spirit if you're not filled with the spirit. That's the point. You cannot pray in the spirit. Being filled with the Holy Ghost don't mean crying. It don't mean laughing. You got to have a spirit language. You got to be able to read. Wait, y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to say this and I got to stop. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Rhema Bible Training Center was granddaddy's school. Everybody in my generation during that time was going to Rhema. I thought that if I didn't go to Rhema, I wasn't going to be nothing. Y'all not talking to me. Because I would have had the opportunity to sit at the feet of Kenneth Hagin, senior, granddaddy. You listening to me? I was in Tulsa. Everybody was going, and they made me feel this small because I wasn't going. Y'all not talking to me. So I got to praying in the spirit one night. Praying in tongues. And it wasn't a space of 2 minutes. It was a good hour or two. I'm down there praying and seeking God. Then God told me these words. Y'all ready for this? Amen. I will be with you wherever you go. That was the inner rhema for me. Because the greatest rhema is when you're hearing from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And time's up.